That was my wife. When we talked about how much we were going to give, she was like, what? How many of you guys brought your books? Let me see, you bring your books, Yeah. All right. How many of you guys have not received the book? Baby?
Yes, sir.
Can you get him a book? Cool. Good morning, everybody. I'm sure we've all felt like Mr. Bean, right? Right?
Yes.
Or is it just me? Or my wife? Yeah? Where we thought something was going to be easy. And then it was a lot harder when we actually faced it. Right? Or is it just me? Yeah? I think you guys need to wake up a little bit. All right. Yes. Well, we thought something was going to be easy, but when it was a lot harder when we actually faced it. Maybe this cannibal series or making a two-year generosity commitment has been that way for you. The last couple of weeks, we looked at some pretty dangerous prayers. Have you guys been here throughout the series? These prayers have been cannibal prayers. Cannonball prayers, jump all in kind of prayers. Where the first couple of weeks we were talking about, search me, God. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Last week we talked about the prayer that said, break me. Break me, God. Right? And today we're going to be looking at a cannibal prayer that is a result of the first two prayers that says, change me. Change me. And this is a dangerous cannibal prayer. This is a dangerous type of prayer because a lot of us, most of us, don't like change. Change is hard. Right? Or is it just me? Change is hard. But if you really begin to pray, Lord, search me, God. Lord, break me, God. Lord, help me, God. We will begin to change. We will. And that's what this whole Cannonball series and two-year generosity initiative is all about. We want to encounter Jesus and have that change us. Right? We want that to change us. We want to be a community of people who jump all in this Jesus mission and create some kingdom of God waves that will reach eternity. Imagine that. The cannibal that you make will make some waves that will reach eternity. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. We want to live for God's kingdom and not just our own. And I also want to say this. We all have a kingdom of God purpose. Every single one of us in this room. We all have a kingdom of God purpose. We all have a part to play in this redemption and restoration. Right. Every Christian is to be an ambassador for Christ, a representative of the heavenly king. Every single one of us. We are supposed to live in love differently so others can see God in us and through us. So please turn to page 47 if you have your books. If you're just getting that book, I want to encourage you to look through the book, read it, so you can learn about our history. And what were the things we've accomplished together as a church in the first 25 years. This church here has been here for 2 years, but the network has been around for 25 years. And I want you to look through the waves, the goals, the dreams we have, as we believe it's the foundation for the next 25 years. All right, so I want to encourage you to read the book. That way you guys know what the vision and what the plan and what we're thinking and what our goals are for the next season that are coming. So we're going to begin by looking at two verses that seem in opposition of each other. But they're not. They're in complete harmony. So many Jesus followers get these two verses and their implication wrong. All right, but today, we will get them right. So here's the first verse, and I want you guys to help me with your outside voices, like you drank a good coffee and you're like all in. It's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Yeah?
Yes.
All right. So I'm gonna count to three, and I want you guys to read it with me. Okay? Cool? All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Wow, that was like you guys were like off track a little bit, right? Upbeat and everything. Somewhere over here, somewhere over there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Even if you are new to this church thing, you're checking it out, right? This verse is probably very familiar, right? You've likely seen it on a t-shirt, like something like this, right? And you probably, oh, a bunch of weirdos there, right? A bunch of weirdos. Or maybe you've seen something like this at the end of the end zone in the field goal, John 3:16. How about this one, this next one? In-N-Out cup. Did everybody know about that? Did they have these verses, you know?
On the fries, too.
On the fries? Wow. That's awesome, though, right? This single verse tells us the greatest love and greatest expression of love that has ever existed. Ever. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. The world here is us. Okay? The world in John 3:16 is the people who have messed up. Me. Right? Who have sinned and who need a savior. Me. And every single one of us here. Every single one of us here. And the good news is that because God loved us, he sent his son as a sacrifice, so we can have eternal life by believing in Jesus. This is the gospel. The good news story of Jesus. But then we have another verse, right? We have another verse here that seems like it's saying we are not supposed to love the world, because Jesus didn't love the world. And here it is, 1 John 2:15 and 16. It says this: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Which is it? Huh. Love the world, but then it says not to love the world. Which is it? Right? Here's the verse. Here's what these verses mean. Write it down. Here's your first filling. We are to love the world, godless people. That's what John 3:16 is talking about. And the next one is, we don't love the world, godless things. That's what 1 John 2:16 is saying. The problem, say with me, the problem is that so many Christians have gotten these mixed up and done the exact opposite. Right? They despise and hate godless people and yet get caught up in loving godless things. This is how the TV preachers can rant and scold people and just you know, tell everybody they're going to hell. And then they jump on their Bentley or on their private jet and they fly away. Right? They've been sucked into loving godless things, possessions. They've forgotten that Jesus was all about loving godless people. How are you going to say, oh yeah, you tell, preach against those TV preachers. Yeah, you let them know, Pastor. Well, guess what, buddies? We all fall in the same temptation. In fact, all the temptation in this life can be put in three categories. And here are the three great traps of this life: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Right? Every advertisement ever created is built on these three: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me give you an example of the lust of the flesh. Have you guys seen the Carl's Jr. commercials? Right? Where they have this supermodel, you know, biting into this huge burger. Yeah. I mean, you don't eat Carl's Jr. Like, you don't need a Carl's Jr. Here's an example of the lust of the eyes. Have you ever watched QVC? Yes. Right? If you don't, if you haven't, don't. Because the host will have you convinced that if you buy this new mop for $19.99, it will not only clean better but quicker. And then the hours that you save, your kids are gonna get better grades, your marriage is gonna be better, all if you buy this mop for $19.99. And if you buy it now, you get two.
And that's not all, right?
$19.99. Buy the mop. Here's an example of the pride of life. Think about every car commercial that you've ever seen. Right? It's all about status. The driver is cruising around with a beautiful girl, and then they go into this exclusive restaurant, and they're living an amazing life, and we wish we had or could have if we just buy the car. Right? So here are the three great traps of this life. Number one, the lust of the flesh, our possessions. Our possessions. That's your feeling right there. Oh, sorry. My bad. It's correct. Our passions. The lust of the flesh, our passions. The lust of the flesh is the temptation to feel. I want to feel good. Right? People think that the lust of the flesh is sex. It can be. Right? But it's so much more than that. It could be television. It could be food. It could be drugs. It could be a sport. It could be a drink. It could be anything that makes you feel good. It could be any kind of pleasure. It's a temptation to feel good. Oh. All right. Here's number two. The lust of the eyes, our possession, our possessions. This is the temptation to have, right? I see it, I want it, I need it. You see a product you didn't even know about existed 30 seconds ago, and now you have to have it or your life will not be complete. That sounds like my wife. You guys were a little late, right? You guys were a little late on that, right? Well, that says she felt about me, right? Ooh, you guys didn't get that? Wow. This is a temptation to have. I see all that these things and I want them all. That is greed. I see it, I gotta have it. Right? Greed ignores how much we already have and simply pursues more. Here's the third one. The pride of life, success and status. One second here. Making a little noise. Okay. Here we go. Number three, pride of life, right? Success and status. It's the temptation to be. Make it all about me. I want to be loved. I want to be known. I want to be famous. I want to be envied. I want to be worshipped. I want other people to think that I'm better than them. That is the pride of life. Making it all about me. Right? These are these three are life's big temptations. And they're not new. Satan has been using the same tactics on us since Adam and Eve. Same thing. It's sex, salary, status. He used them with Moses. He used them with Jesus. None of these are bad in themselves and within God's design. But the problem, say with me, the problem is that when the attainment of these things become our ultimate goal, when we love these things more than we love God and people, when we love our pleasures, our possessions, and our position more than we love God and people. These are the three great temptations that we will face over and 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 over again in your life. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Same three. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These three represent a natural gravitational pull of our broken world and our sinful self. Left to ourselves, this is where we will all drift. Right? Because we don't drift to self-discipline. That would be awesome, right? We don't drift to giving to others. We don't drift to serving others. We drift to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and to the pride of life. But the good news is we can overcome these temptations. We can live a cannibal kind of life in making it about kingdom, the God's kingdom, and not our own. Giving and serving others and making our communities and world a better place. So how do we overcome these? How do we overcome these? I'm going to give you some action steps. It's not going to happen like, oh, not going to happen like that. I'm going to give you some action steps, some next right steps to take if you want God to change you. Here is number one, integrity to fight the lust of the flesh. What is integrity? A lot of people think it means honesty. I mean, that's part of it. But integrity is much more than just honesty. Integrity comes from the word integer, which means the unit of one, which means wholeness. And then it's so easy for us, it's so easy for me to compartmentalize our life. This is my life. This is my work life, this is my married life, and this is my church life. We're different in every area. We're different at work than we're at home and then we're at church. We're separating it. The moment we do that in our life, we lost our integrity. Because you're different here, and then you're different here, and then you're different here. We lost our integrity when we do that. Integrity doesn't mean we're perfect either. None of us would have it. Integrity says, I want to live whole. I want to live complete before God and others. One of our values here at the church that we talked about last year, like 2 years ago when we did the Run ALC, we talked about our values, our church values. One of our values is we live lights on, windows open. We don't hide who we are. We don't hide what we're struggling with. We say what needs to be said, and we do what needs to be done to help each other keep moving forward in our faith. That is how integrity is lived out. And by living like that, it'll protect us from the lust of the flesh. Being authentic, being real. Oh, and hey, praise the Lord. And then you're over here, hey, you mumble, you know, bam, and wow. I'm talking from because I've seen it. I'm married to my wife, you know what I'm saying? You know. Here's number two, generosity. Generosity to fight the lust of the eyes. Generosity to fight the lust of the eyes. The only antidote, the only antidote to change an attitude that says get is to give. Churches should be the most generous places filled with the most generous people because we've encountered the most generous God. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. This is the nature of God. And I break the grip of materialism when I give. Learning to be generous is the only antidote. So I dare you to be generous. I dare you. I mean, if you trust him with your salvation, why don't you trust him with your money? If you trust him with your children, right? You guys to come and drop them off. You're trusting somebody, right? How come you didn't trust him with your money? Why not do a cannibal and start giving? Because every time I give, my heart moves towards the things of God. Because it's like you're investing. Like it, like in the business, you invest, you want to see what's going on, right? Here's one of our church members. Her name is Jessica, and this is her story. Watch this.
I found Eastlake about 14 years ago. We just moved here, recently married, and we moved to Eastlake Trails, and we got a mailer, and I thought it looked great. So I grew up Catholic, and church was never a big part of our life, so we decided to check it out. One of the biggest ways I'm involved in Eastlake is I'm part of a growth group, which is great support for me and for our community and for my family. It's a women's group, so it's a mix of ages. Everybody there has kids. Most are married. I am not. I'm single, but it's just a great place for me to go and share our challenges and our joys and have people pray with you over the good and the bad of life. One of the most spiritual moments for me at East Lake here was when my oldest son at 13 decided that he wanted to be baptized. And this was his choice. I always waited, and I thought it might be when he was older. He came to me and begged me to take him to the beach baptisms at Imperial Beach. So I asked my parents to come, and I was so proud of his decision. He then picked his small group leader, Bob Shields, and Sam McBeek to baptize him, and that just meant so much to me that he's following his journey, his spiritual journey, and growing, and he has two amazing mentors to look up to. God has put a lot of things in my path that challenges me and my generosity, mainly my three kids. I love them. They're wonderful, but they are a strain lots of times, and there are a lot of things that come up between sports and school and parties that need to be taken care of. So there are lots of times where you have to figure out where things are going to go, and sometimes we go without, you know, phones or technology, but that's okay. And they can create their own questions and their own ideas and ask me, but I think us modeling that to our kids is really important. I think East Lake is an amazing investment of my time and resources because it helped me get through the worst time of my life. Without it, I don't know what our life would look like. But it's invested in me, it's invested in my kids, and I've seen lives changed. And when you don't have enough to pay your bills, it's really scary. But give what you can. It's, you know, one foot in front of the other some days, and so take a step. And whatever that step looks like, keep moving forward. Cannonball is not just about your money. It's so much more than that. God wants our hearts. We're all far from perfect, and we're all at different places, and I fail more often than not, but I keep going, and it's just an amazing journey that requires all of you. I've seen in 14 years this church go from a small building to churches all around the United States, able to watch it online, orphanages that we support, different projects that we make happen, and it's so exciting to see these lives change. So I'm really excited to see what the next 2 years brings.
We've been saying throughout this series exactly what Jessica said. Cannonball is much more than our money. It's about our heart. And Jesus knows our heart follows our treasure, and that's good news. Because we can tell our heart where to go by living and giving generously. Next week is the last week of this Cannonball series. It's been 6 weeks. For you guys who are visiting us for the first time, this is a generosity initiative that's going to launch us for the next, it's a 2-year generosity initiative, but that's going to launch us for the next 25 years. We have plans as a network of churches. We have plans here in Mexico. We have plans on starting a new church here in Tijuana in 2018. So this is what it's all about. You know, I mentioned many times for some, I mentioned in one of our talks that our church runs from, we average 160, 170 per week, right, with the two services that we have, and only 14% give. So imagine what we can do with 100%. Imagine what we can do with 100%. Right now, I'm the only one that's in staff. I personally would like to hire some people to help me do a better job in the kingdom, in this church. Right? For some, it's going to be from, maybe you've called this your church, you've never given anything. And for some, it's probably your next step to from nothing to something. For others, it's from something to tithing. And for those of you who have been giving at the tithe, generosity. That's what we've been talking about. Right? We're not making this up. You can find it in the Bible. You can find it in the Bible. So next week is our last week of this Cannonball series. And next week is Commitment Weekend. A big part of this two-year generosity is telling our hearts where to go. We're going to give our treasure to the kingdom of God work that's happening through our churches. And I'm so excited to see how God changes us, how God changes me. Because our heart will follow the beat with passion for God's kingdom. The generosity will change us and will change our community. This is what this commitment card is all about. I'm sure that maybe some of you have it maybe under the car seat or, you know, maybe lost it somehow, right? This is what this commitment card is all about. It's our investment in God, in God's kingdom work. So what we want you to do is take this card or find the card and just pray. Pray. Pray about what your part is going to be. The first part is kind of like a worksheet. You know, something that me and my wife did is like I have a little app on my phone that tells me that I put all everything that I spend and how much I spend eating out, how much I spend, you know, in groceries, how much. So I had exactly what we gave last year, right? So what I did is I put it on top, right? And then we talked about what we were going to give extra, and we put that, and we times it times two, and we came up with a number. Two-year commitment. Like I mentioned, for some, it's just from nothing to something, from something to tithing, from tithing to generosity. This is the biggest generosity step that we've ever taken as a couple. We ourselves have to make some adjustments in our spending to be able to do this. And why do you think we're willing to do this? Because we know that God is faithful. And we want to be part in what God is doing here in Mexico. We have a plan of starting a network of churches. You know, and the next one is in Tijuana, in that Zona Rio area. We're thinking Ensenada, we're thinking Rosarito, we're thinking Guadalajara, we're thinking... Everybody wants to go to Cancun. Right? So what I'm asking you is to simply do what we're doing. Listen and respond to what Jesus is telling you to do. That's our primary goal. What we've been talking about during this series, in this generosity journey, that 100% engagement. We want 100% of everyone who attends this church or you call this church your home to participate. So now that you know that next week is Commitment Weekend, please, I'll have a headache. Let's stay home. No. We're going to cannonball. I want to be part in what God wants to do. I want to be part in it, and I hope that you've been motivated to do the same. Here's number three. Humility. To fight the pride of life. Humility. Most people don't really understand what humility is. Humility is not going around saying, I am no good. I'm just junk. You are not junk. Jesus didn't die for no junk.
That's right.
Do you want to know how valuable you are? Look at the cross. You are incredibly loved and valued and have a God-given purpose. Humility is not putting yourself down. That is false humility. Humility is being honest about our weaknesses. Philippians 1:6 says this. I am confident that the Creator, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. Ultimate redemption and restoration is coming. But until that day comes, you are Christ's ambassadors. We are to represent a king and a kingdom, not of this world. We are ambassadors. Isn't that awesome? We are ambassadors. Here on earth, represent a king and a kingdom, not of this world. Let's continue to be a community of people willing to give ourselves and our resources to that mission. I want you guys to team up with us. What has Jesus done for you? My heart is I want other people to experience Jesus. I want other people to experience what he has done with me, what we've done with our family. I know you guys have your own stories. And I know that maybe you guys are going through some stuff right now. But hold on. Because God is faithful. This is what it's all about. Reaching people for Jesus because of what we experience with Jesus, right? And it's awesome. But like I said, there's stuff that we're going to go through. I went through prison. And I'm like, Lord, what up? After I got out, When I thought that God was not there with me after I got out, because when you're going through it, where's God, right? Where are you, Lord? Where are you? You feel like he's not answering your prayers, that he's not doing anything. They're like, well, maybe God doesn't even exist. But after, I look back, and he was there the whole time. Sometimes in our pain and suffering, we don't feel them. Sometimes we can't hear them. He's faithful. And this is what that drives me, is that I want other people to experience that. And that's why we want to start another church, because we have a culture here that we're trying to reach unchurched people. We're not trying to get people from other churches. That's not what we want to do. Our church, our culture is set up to reach people that do not know Christ. That's why it's only 1 hour. That's why the funny videos. Because we have a certain target. I don't want people from other churches. They're already saved. I want to reach other people that don't know Christ. And I want you guys to be part of it. I want you guys to link arm with us. Let's push out His kingdom. With our time, our talent, and our treasure. I know there's talented people here. I know there's talented people here. God wants to use that talent. He gave you that talent for His kingdom. This was not written in my notes, so it, you know. Sorry. Past my time. Let's pray. Lord, I love You. Thank You for saving me, saving us. Thank You for the new hope and future that You've given us. Help us to be part of what You want to do here on this earth. Help us to believe that we are Your ambassadors, representing You. Help us to understand that everything that we have comes from You. Our jobs, our kids, everything. I pray for every single person here that they, when they leave, they leave different with a new understanding of the love that You have for them. And for those who are going through some stuff as we speak, give them strength. Because I know, Lord God, it is through that You're working in us. Thank You, Jesus. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.